Joel, I appreciate so much the songs that you select and to go with the lessons. I know it takes a lot of extra effort, but I deeply appreciate that. It helps us prepare our minds a bit for what's coming. You know, if you read Acts 2 and verse 47, you can read in there that it clearly teaches that all Christians are saved. And it was in this verse here that the Lord added daily to the church such as should be saved. The Bible also clearly teaches us that Christians are partakers of eternal life in John 3 and verse 36. He that believes on the Son has everlasting life. But it also teaches that heaven is in the future. In 1 Peter chapter 1 and verses 3 through 5, Peter wrote, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, and that fades not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith, and a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time." We live as Christians according to Titus 1 and verse 2 in the hope of eternal life. And there is no contradiction in the verses that we read. While we are saved and while heaven is in the future, it is attainable. And God's promises do not have to be inevitable in order to be certain. If you look in Joshua chapter 6 and verse 2, just before Joshua had even started his siege on Jericho, God said to him, "See, I have given Jericho into your hand, the king thereof and the mighty men of valor." And he had yet to go in there, but it was a promise that God made. You contrast that with Hebrews 6 in verses 32 through 36, where the Hebrew writer said, "But call to remembrance the former days in which after you were illuminated, you endured the former days in which after you were illuminated, you endured the great flight of afflictions. Partly while you were made a grazing stock, both by reproaches and afflictions, and partly while you became companions of them that were so used. For you had compassion of me and my bonds. You took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that you have in heaven a better recompense of reward. For you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise." You might receive the promise. You know, one thing about being a Christian and even obeying everything that the Bible tells us to obey as far as becoming a Christian and God's plan of salvation, heaven is both prospective and conditional. There is no 100% guarantee. And sadly, this is what some folks in the religious world seem to believe, that once they have become a Christian, there is nothing that can stop them from attaining heaven, including sin in their lives. It is up to us as Christians to maintain what we have and the promises that we've been given. And we must not only get saved, but we must keep ourselves saved. You know, 1 Peter 5 and verse 8, Peter reminds us of Satan. He compares him to a lion. He tells us to be sober. In other words, to keep our wits about us, to be vigilant, always be on the lookout. We have to keep Satan in the back of our mind. I believe with all my heart Satan knows exactly where he's going to end up. But you know, there's the old adage, misery loves company, and I'm sure that Satan is doing his very best to make sure that his kingdom in the netherworld, even in punishment, is going to be bigger than the Lord's kingdom That's not a bragging right that I would like to have. But let's just say that he is working very hard. He is trying his loving best to get his claws into us all. I heard one gospel preacher at one time saying that, you know, the other denominational world, they don't have to worry about Satan because he already has the claws in him, but that he roams around outside the Lord's church hoping and praying that he can get his hands on one of us. I don't necessarily agree with that, but, you know, sometimes in my mind it makes sense. There was a man in Acts chapter 8 by the name of Simon. In verses 18 through 25, we read in these verses where he wanted the apostles to lay hands on him so that he could receive some of these special gifts. He was a man that would really love to have profited from his salvation. In these verses, he received a very stern rebuke by Peter. And he was told here in these verses that his heart was not right with God, and that for his sake he needed to repent of his wickedness so that he might be forgiven. Here was a man who had obeyed the gospel, had believed it with all his heart and understood it, but he got blinded a little bit because Satan, the lion, was roaming around and he got his claws into him. While he was cleansed and made white, he still had a piece of the sinful heart. In Hebrews 6 and verses 4 through 6, and the writer said, "For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they should fall away." You know, we read this verse last week. "To renew them again to unrepentance, seeing they crucified themselves, the Son of God, afresh and put him to an open shame." You know, when we fall back, when we do the things that we are not supposed to be doing, it's exactly what we are doing to Christ. We're nailing him back up on that cross. But John, in 1 John 5 and verses 16 and 17, he said, "If any man sees a brother in sin, sin a sin which is not unto death," which means a sin that has been repented of, "he shall ask and he shall give life for them that sin not unto death." There is a sin unto death. And I do not say that he shall pray for it. Unrepented sin can do us in the very end. We are continually involved in a spiritual warfare. From the moment we get up in the morning till we lay our heads down on that pillow at night, we're at war. We are constantly fighting off the evils of this world. It doesn't matter what kind of day we have, there is always something in at least one of those minutes of that day that attacks us. We have a real enemy that we need to deal with. James 4 and verse 7, James tells us to flee, to resist, and he will flee from us. We need to continue in our prayers, in our strength, in our study, so that he will leave us alone. We need to be steadfast in the faith. We need to continually, as Paul tells us in Philippians 3, to reach for that goal. That should be first and foremost in our lives, each and every day, to strive to that goal. When Joel and Dale and Shane and Rusty and Kip and them, when they hit that starting line on the racetrack, Their eyes are focused at the very end of that track. Well, at first it's on the lights. But once that light turns green, their eyes are focused straight down. Their goal is to get to the other end in a straight line. That is so similar to our goal as Christians, to get to heaven in a straight line. But you know, our course as Christians most of the time is like a road rally. We've got all these twists and turns in life that we have to get around. Getting to heaven sometimes seems like we're the children of Israel in the wilderness. Instead of crossing over the Red Sea and going in a straight line to the land of Canaan, we went hundreds of miles out of our way through the wilderness. And that is our Christian walk. But we must maintain and keep our eyes focused. A complacent Christian is a contradiction of terms. We cannot be complacent. Philippians 2 and verse 12 tells us that we must work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. That we must remain faithful unto death, Revelation 2:10, for the purpose of receiving that crown of life. You know, God has another desire for us. We can read it in John 3:16 and verse 17. This is God's feelings towards the human being and how much we mean to Him. Every one of us in here tonight can probably recite these verses from heart. Especially verse 17 is very important. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He wants His creation preserved into posterity. He wants us to be with Him. Every single man, woman, and child that has ever inhabited the earth, God has wanted them with Him. Sadly, only a very small, minuscule amount will ever be in eternity with Him. Contrary to what some people think, God is our friend. And yes, God has the power. God can end with His breath, all pestilence, all war, if He so desires. He's on our side. And He is willing and able to help us remain true to Him, but He's letting us make the effort. God could make us into mindless robots to follow obediently to Him. He can do that, but He does not desire to do that. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, Ephesians 1 and verse 3, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. We do not have to fear losing our salvation when God is with us, unless we so desire to. God will not take it from us. We can give it up. Jesus said in John 10 and verses 28 and 29, "And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." I think that's pretty clear. Nobody else can take our salvation away from us. Nobody on the face of this earth. My Father, which gave me, is greater than all. No man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. They can't take us, but we can jump out. anytime we want to. There are several hats that Jesus wears. We don't often think about that. Those who are in business for yourself, you're the boss, you're the laborer, you clean the toilets. I remember those days. You wore many hats. Jesus does the same thing. In Hebrews 2 and verses 11 and 12, it tells us there that he's our brother. In 1 Timothy 2 and verse 5, he is also our mediator. In 1 John 2 and verses 1 and 2, he's our advocate. He's also, Hebrews 2 and verse 17 and 18 tells us, our merciful and faithful high priest. That's a lot of hats to wear. When you sit around, you're kind of, when the economy was going kind of south back in the mid-2000s, and companies were laying off people, and they were putting the ones that were left behind, they were dumping more and more work onto them because they didn't have anybody to do that work. And people had to do more for less pay or for the same amount of pay. Jesus is doing more and taking this all on his shoulders. And he sacrificed it all for that. 1 John 7, or 1 in verses 7 through 10. John says, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. And if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. Obeying the gospel is Christian basic training. It is when we obey that gospel and we come up out of that water that we go to advanced training. Much like our military, all of them, they go to boot camp. And when they come out, depending on what job they're in, they go for additional training. But our instructor in our spiritual warfare is God himself. And he gave us the manual of arms. He does a lot of things for us. 1 Corinthians 10 and verses 13 tells us that he delivers us from temptation. In Romans 8 verse 26, it tells us that the Holy Spirit intercedes for us. Hebrews 1 and verse 14 tells us that the angels assist in helping us. In Hebrews 12 and verses 5 through 11, it tells us that God chastens us for our own good, that he also helps and strengthens us through his word. Philippians 4 and verse 13. There are specific blessings that God gives us for our security. One of those blessings, and oftentimes in my own mind, I think it is one of the most critical blessings that we have, is this congregation. This is the focus that a Hebrew writer wrote in Hebrews 10 and verses 24 and 25. That we are here so that we can provoke one another unto love and good works. But when we forsake the assembly, there's no way we can provoke each other. Every time I think of the word provoke, I think of me and my brother, how we would use to provoke each other. But this is a good provoke. We are trying to build one another up, to encourage each other to do those good things. But there, God has given us special servants. Paul wrote about these special servants in Ephesians 4 in verses 11 through 16. And he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. And there is a purpose for that. He says, till all come in the unity of the faith. Where would we be today if it wasn't for these men in the first century church that were able to teach more than just the plan of salvation? Where would we be today without Paul's letters or Peter's or James or John? Where would we be? These men, because of their love for Christ and God, were able to write down in pen. And it wasn't just the ones who wrote, but also the ones who led the churches in educating and giving meat to the people. We have just a few of these individuals today. We have no apostles left. There is no need for prophets because everything that's going to happen has been written down. We just have to be patient and wait for it to happen. But we still have our teachers, the ones who train up our little ones on Sunday morning. And God bless you and thank you so much for that work, because our children are so important. It's to make us perfect. To make us perfect. God gave us our scriptures, breathed them to the apostles, to write these things down so that we are equipped in our spiritual warfare. As Christians, we are secure in Christ. But again, it is conditionally so. The other day, I had left the house. I was out checking the work that the contractors had done. I still got the inside walls. They haven't been removed. But I still locked that back door. The simple reason, all they got to do is cut a hole in the building wrapper and get into my back door. It's not a rocket science. There's still no walls. Really, that is solid to keep anybody out. I went out and I looked at it on the first. The cat still misses the screened-in porch. He would go out there and lay out there all day. You couldn't find him. He'd be out there getting aggravated by the birds and the squirrels, just running around trying to get through the screen to get him. I left it open, and he went out there on the back porch, and he was sniffing around. He's kind of bored because there's no place he can look out. There's no windows in it yet. So I left for work after he finally come back in and forgot to lock that door. God secures us. We can be comfortable as Christians, but we can leave a door unlocked. And Satan can work his way in if we're not ready, if we're not prepared. Solomon wrote in Proverbs 14, verse 26, "In the fear of the Lord is strong confidence, and his children shall have a place of refuge." What is the condition? The fear of the Lord. That makes it conditional. If we don't have a fear of the Lord, how can we find refuge? And we can be positive and optimistic about the salvation of Christ. In 1 John chapter 2 and verse 28, it says, "And now, little children, abide in him." There's another condition. We have to abide in him. "That when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming." 1 John 3 and verse 19, it says, "And hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him." We have to know the truth. If we don't know the truth, how can we be sure? We can have that triumphant heart. Now listen to the words of 1 John chapter 5 and verses 4 and 5. He says, "And whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcomes the world but he that believes that Jesus is the Son of God?" We overcome. But we cannot be slack in our obedience. We cannot get comfortable in our own skins. We cannot dwell on unnecessary fears. 2 Peter 1, verses 10 and 11, Peter tells us to give diligence to make our calling and election sure. "For if you do these things, you shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." Who goes to heaven? The obedient. Simple as that. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verses 5 through 7, Paul listed those who did not have or would not have an inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. He also warned us not to be deceived and to be the partakers of those things. We have an awful lot of things that we have to be mindful of. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 12 tells us that we need to take heed. 1 Peter 1 and verse 13 that we need to gird up the loins of our minds. 1 Corinthians 9 and verse 27, we need to discipline ourselves. That we need to be rooted in the faith, Colossians 2 and verse 7. That we need to put on the armor of God, Ephesians 6 and verses 10 through 18. That we need to be strong in the Lord, 2 Timothy 2 and verse 1. And stand fast in the faith, 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 13. And to resist the devil, James 4 and verse 7. We follow this plan. We will make our election sure. We maintain a daily prayer life. We maintain a time each day to open the Word of God and to study it. We take the time to associate with our brothers and sisters. We get involved in the things, the activities, and the work of the church. We make sure that our attendance is regular. And more importantly, I think, than all these things, that we need to accept correction when it is necessary in the spirit in which it's given. When we, and if we, neglect God's provisions, it is at our own peril. We are kept by the power of God if we so let him keep us. God wants us to be saved. And it should be our desire to be obedient to that salvation. If there's anyone here this evening who has not obeyed the gospel, we want to give you that opportunity tonight. Change your life for the better. Allow Jesus this day to have to prepare another mansion. He is ready to do that. Always ready. Allow the angels to sing. Maybe you are a child of God, and maybe you're kind of wondering where you're going to end up if this world comes to an end today. because there is something in your life that is holding you back. You may be in doubt of your salvation. If there's anyone that has a need, seeing we pray that you'll come forward as together we stand and we sing.